Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Viva Las Vegas.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. Got some heroes. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler, whatever. To my right, she's back. And she can't keep playing the game like, oh, I'm finally invited, my once-a-year appearance, when I think we're up to two or three already in the past 6 months. Cynthia Freeland.
Hi.
What's up, Cindy?
Did you just call me? You're like the only one that can get away with that, you know.
Thank you.
Because it doesn't sound like Cynthia, but when it comes out of your mouth, I still listen to it. But other people, they'll say it and they'll look at me and I'm like, oh, you're talking to me. But it doesn't sound the same. Cindy, Cynthia, just totally different.
But distinctly two different names.
Right.
And like, different personas and energy around those two
totally.
Names.
Totally. But I guess everyone has like a fake name on this show. So like maybe I need to come up with, you know, but it wouldn't be Cindy. That is not what it would be.
Well, if you're uncomfortable with Cindy, we could speak privately and I'll move it off the platform.
Well, you can do it, but other people cannot.
But Dan's right. You can't keep doing the thing and you did it off air of like, oh, it's good to find, you know, actually be on the show. When you get the call up to the around the AFC in 48 minutes.
Big show.
That's upper tier. That's one of our favorite shows of the year. I remember it was one of Chris's favorite shows.
Absolutely.
Of the year. Had all his notes ready for it. So, I mean, this is big time.
Huge
time.
This is your chance. Also, like, we're really, like, we're ushering in a new era of the podcast. Like, I'm glad to be here for this. Oh,
yeah. Great transition. I was just going to say, I did a power rankings taping with Matt Money Smith today, and he was upset that he didn't get the invite to this app. It's Cindy that gets the invite. So think about that.
Nobody has worked more than Matt Money Smith in the past. Like,
think about that money.
Yeah, money.
Yes, a new era. Erica Tamposi, our great love behind the glass, has moved on. She's going to be working on other projects. She's going to be a star in her own right. And we were holding her down, let's be honest. So we needed new blood. And here he is. Of course, you know him. He's the grave digger, Justin Graber. You'll get used to it. You got to hit your own gravedigger drop now. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good, good, good. I think to get this thing off, before we get to some news that went down in the last 24 hours, before we move on to anything else, it is a changing of the guard. So I believe we need to have just a quick ceremony as we begin the new era.
Absolutely.
Behind the glass. This is the producer's creed, Justin. I, Justin Graber. Do solemnly swear. That I will faithfully execute the position of producer of the Around the NFL podcast. And defend said property against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I renounce any and all other podcasts outside these walls. I will betray the trust of outsiders if it benefits the show or its host. I will put the show below only God and country. Friends, family, live-in, paramours all exist at a lower priority level than the Around the NFL podcast, and it's above the line. No, talent, just say yes.
Yes.
Seems so specific.
It's very long.
Paramours.
I will abstain from drugs, alcohol, and sex during the duration of my duty.
I will do my best to abstain from drugs, alcohol, and sex during the duration of my duties.
I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the position on which I am about to enter.
I will... One more time?
So help me, God.
Yes. So help me, God. Yes to that.
And now I will prick your finger with this pin. I will take your blood and put your hand over the 2006 Tennessee Titans media guide and repeat yourself, so help me, God.
So help me, God.
All right. Welcome aboard.
Wow.
And I think in true Tamposi fashion,
wild.
This will be the only segment of the show that makes it to social.
Yeah. I should have shaved this.
Mark coming out swinging.
I also can think of some producers that did not take that oath going into the job.
Yeah,
that did not perform
TD
those duties.
TD was squeamish. He didn't want to get pricked with the blood. He didn't like that.
No, he did not want to be pricked with the blood. All right. So, Justin, great to have you aboard in this capacity. We're going to do great things together. Let's now get to the business at hand. Yes, we do it only a couple times a year. But definitely after the NFL draft, it's time to check in with every team in the league. Tuesday, today, AFC. Thursday, NFC. But first, time for news and notes presented by Upwork, where you can build the team that will build your business. Learn more at Upwork.com. We'll start with news out of Arizona. DeAndre Hopkins. He's on the shelf. He is on the shelf for 6 games to start the 2022 season after testing positive for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drug policy. He withdrew his appeal of the 6-game ban. And, Cynthia, what kind of struck me about this, obviously a big bummer. Hopkins is one of the best playmakers in the league. He's coming off an injury-riddled season. He'd been an Ironman before that. He's never had any type of PED issues to this point. All of a sudden, that trade made a little more sense to me on Thursday night. Hmm. Man, you're giving up a first-round pick for Hollywood Brown? Well, they knew something we didn't.
For sure. They knew something we didn't. They had to do the best they could given the circumstances. They need to make Kyler Murray happy. Hollywood Brown reunion makes them very happy, allegedly, right? Or at least there's their best chance
sure.
that. So, I mean, this is an interesting one because I don't know what a high grade beaver tranquilizer is, but that's just another, that's for like a whole other show.
Right.
But just wild.
You'll abstain, Graver.
Exactly. But it's just a wild, it's a wild read. So you can't make this up.
He, most likely. And
I thought deer spray was like the top of the charts, and now we got beaver
Apparently
tranquilizer.
Not. Beaver tranquilizer is dangerous.
High grade, you know?
He, most likely, and I've heard some buzz about this behind this. Most likely he put his trust into someone who creates a plan for his body and his nutrition and his strength coach and his all of that. And that person, who probably makes a lot of money, and I've heard some whispers that the same exact person, the same trainer, I had some other players popped recently in the last couple of seasons.
Fire that guy?
You would think you would not keep that guy, first of all. And just like that decision to hire this person and who apparently is pushing the boundaries of what you can do is costing DeAndre Hopkins millions and millions of dollars that he never
Third
get back.
Played.
And the Cardinals offense, which to me already struggled
Shaky.
With creativity, is going to be a lot worse without him, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, they were... Obviously, they're a team that 2 years in a row has gotten off to hot starts under Cliff Kingsbury. The wheels came completely off the vehicle at the end of the season, and it had a lot to do with DeAndre Hopkins being out of the lineup. They were 1-4. Kyler Murray was 1-4 in games without DeAndre Hopkins, and that included that playoff implosion. So right away, I don't think that Hollywood Brown can mask over what you lose with DeAndre Hopkins on any level. I get that he's turning 30. He's not the same player maybe he was a couple years ago, but he's been the key to their passing game. So I think it's a disaster for Arizona.
I'm glad they have him, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be a little more.
I mean, they needed him. And I think the Ravens, who everything seemed to go right for the Ravens in Vegas, perhaps that did, too, because they had a little extra leverage, whether they knew it or not. I don't know. But very interesting. I think Hopkins... We have no sign that he's not still in his prime. I know he's banged up last year, but he was a stud when he first got to Arizona. He's a big-time player. Rondell Moore, who flashed a little bit last year as a rookie, he's going to have a bigger role now. A.J. Green is still in that building.
back in the building.
So we shall
AJ
see.
AJ Green didn't sound like he loved last season either. So
yeah, they have Zach Ertz too, and I know that doesn't sound awesome, but Zach Ertz did pick up a lot of the slack when DeAndre Hopkins was out last season. So I mean, like, let's just get Kyler Murray back first. Like, if he doesn't come back, then
we'll hit that in the NFC conversation, because that is not a done deal yet either. Speaking of the NFC. The Honey Badger is is heading home to the Bayou. Greggy's so pumped. He loves it. I love LSU. I love Tulane.
He loves Tyrann Mathieu,
formerly of the Chiefs. He signs now, Mark, with the Saints. So that deal, he leaves Greybeard's purgatory and signs in May, 30 years old. Obviously, he's always been productive, but he keeps on moving around. Maybe he has a longer stay here in New Orleans. A nice pickup for a Saints team that's looking pretty good right now, too.
Yeah, Honey Badger's the kind of guy, no matter where he went, you would talk about it as a massive upgrade to that team's defense. Something about this feels different to me. It feels special because the Saints are a unique team. I think Greg mentioned this a week or so ago, that their fan base is unique. The location is unique, the whole city, and that he's coming back home. All of that is the intangible stuff, but I kind of love the fact that you're adding him to a defense that lost Malcolm Jenkins to retirement, that lost Marcus Williams to the Ravens. If you look at who they have and the way that they operated last year as the number fourth overall team DVOA-wise against the pass, Honey Badger is set up to succeed. And this was the one secondary that looked at Tom Brady, caused total chaos for him, showed zero fear of Tom Brady. And we already know that Honey Badger feels that way about Tom Brady because they've gotten into it in the past on the field. So I kind of just love this for New Orleans.
They're 8 or 9 deep now. I mean, they also signed Marcus May. They brought PJ Williams back. Yep. They've got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Marshawn Lattimore, Adebo looked pretty good. They brought in Daniel Sorensen, which I kind of forgot about as like a reserve guy.
They drafted one in the second round.
Wait, did you just present that as a positive?
No, that wasn't. If anything, Matthew is
taking those guys.
Yeah, they're teammates. They know each other. And Matthew's taking those snaps, I think, from them. But I think we're going to talk about some teams in the around the AFC segment that I think are building back to front. The Ravens, the Bengals, the Saints are definitely that team that feels like we've got 7 or 8 guys back there that can slow down today's passing attacks.
To counteract all the passing, first down, we've seen the most passing ever past 2 seasons. Counteract that, you need to play nickel. You need to play lots of defensive backs, and that's what teams have been doing. So you saw it. That was part of the reason why when we get to the Ravens that we'll talk about, you know, why Kyle Hamilton was such a good fit. But being able to just always have that depth for the defensive backs, it's just the way to counterbalance all the passing.
And I don't want to hear that A.J. Brown, you couldn't afford A.J. Brown. It's like the Saints were $80 million over the cap, and they somehow figured out all this stuff, and they're still signing Tyrann Mathieu. Like, their cash spending is through the roof. If nothing else, Saints fans got to be happy with Gale Benson. That they are just like spending money over hand over fist the last couple of seasons, almost more than any team in the NFL.
Yeah, I believe AJ Brown when he said this isn't my fault.
Yeah,
it wasn't my fault.
Right.
I don't think it was. And that was News and Notes presented by Upwork, the world's work marketplace. Learn more at Upwork.com. All right. Now, here we go.
Ready?
We're caught up on the news.
Okay.
Greg, Mark, how are you feeling about things time wise right now? You expressed some concern before we started.
I mean, it was playful concern, but I suggested the show would go at least 85 minutes. But
I feel like any playful concern from Mark always has like an undercurrent of menace.
It's not untrue.
I'm feeling a little of that Tuesday intensity from Sessler, and I think that's going to help you in this exercise.
I just came, you know, I'm enjoying the conversation so far, and I hope it, you know, for the next 48 minutes and not a lot longer, we continue to do
that.
You
did tell us you were at the office 3.5 hours before the show, so
He's ready.
Prep. That is
Well, that's why you're ready to go.
the cafeteria upstairs offers free breakfast, and there's, like, nice coffee machines and stuff.
Cynthia, you had said, as I mentioned, Power Rankings is back. Me and Matt Money Smith are on the network later today, 8 p.m. Eastern. You said in the Total Access meeting, just a ton of heat, people fired up about the Power Rankings. A lot of guys be like, he never played the game.
No.
I don't take this seriously. He never played a snap. Anything like that?
Not that I remember.
Be honest.
What I remember
Michael
was
Irvin
more like
in the meeting today, was showing like, up in mid May.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Obviously, they put the stars on in mid May, May 3rd. That's the, when they bring the stars out. Hence why I'm on it with you. But it was more like, can you keep repeating the order because the people were calling in because they're not sitting there in person. So
that sounds like
I feel
that's
as it. Though I have them memorized now because right, other people could not remember.
A slight disaster.
Do you want to hear the top 10? You curious?
Serious.
I am. Let's go.
Here's the top 10.
Number one.
Let's put the Rams back at one. Just that. Come on.
I should. Bills, Rams, Bucks, Bengals, Niners, Packers, Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders, AFC West, 7 to 10. Am I crazy?
It's cute. That's
I don't think you're crazy. You Bengals feels a little rich.
It's cute. How
it's like
dare
a little,
you?
It's like a little, hey, hey.
How dare you?
Bengals feels thing. Rich.
I don't like the Chiefs being below those teams, and the Bengals seem
where the heck are the Ravens?
Weirdly,
the Ravens
high.
Are 11, up four spots.
Okay. I feel like somebody's got to win that division.
Certainly.
Somebody so, like,
will.
The 11th best
I kinda
team.
I kind of knocked the Bengals right back to...
Right, the Bengals.
The rest of
the Bengals
division.
Feels a little overrated.
We didn't like what
but,
they did yeah. In free agency.
I think they've had a great offseason.
Yeah,
but
are they a better team than the one that almost won the Super Bowl? I think so.
Yeah,
I
but so are the Ravens. The Ravens got like injury, really unlucky injury wise. Hey.
Everything went wrong for Baltimore, and they
Everything.
Were still alive in Week 18.
Exactly,
we are asking quite a bit from Rashad Bateman right now in that wide receiver room.
I also think it's funny that the Broncos are up there, and who like are we? Who is he throwing the ball to himself?
It's a tugboat.
Tom
hunch,
Brady can't pass and catch the ball himself.
The Broncos
maybe
have
Russell
great,
Wilson
have
can.
Great receivers. What are you talking
Cortland
about?
Cortland Sutton, you,
Tim Patrick, fair? Jerry Judy, KJ Hamler.
That's
is this a Drew Lock problem?
We gotta save it for
okay,
the end.
Yeah, keep
we'll save it.
All right,
this
fine,
is why
ready?
The show's going 84 40, minutes.
48 minutes. Let's go.
All right, let's get to it. Sometimes you got to go out on a perch a little bit.
On a mile-high perch.
Here we go. This is what we do. 3 minutes per team, every team in the AFC. We got four divisions. There's four of us. We'll take one team per division. Gravedigger, right off the bat, you're getting thrown in the hot water here because you need to adjudicate this. Is that mm-hmm. the right word?
Yeah.
I think I understand what you're trying
you
to say.
You need to handle this.
I okay? got you.
You need to make sure you have to. And I know maybe you'll be a little sheepish because I'm the new guy. I don't want to like drop a hammer on these guys if I have to. But that's part of this gig.
Mm. I don't know. This is the same guy that before we were taping goes, it's a new era. Right. As right now, I think he's ready for it. He's ready.
So we get 3 minutes a team. If we go over 3 minutes, and this includes Cindy. I know she's a star at this company, but you need to take out the tranquilizer and you hit her right in the jugular.
High-grade Bieber tranquilizer
yes.
only.
High-grade Bieber.
I'm ready. Locked and loaded.
All right. So let's get going. Let's start with the – and you'll know when time's up, okay? You'll know. Something's going to wash over you, a piece.
A piece. Okay.
From 1993.
Okay.
We're going to start with the AFC East. I will get us going.
Okay.
So let's start it up, Gravedigger, with the Buffalo Bills. Number one, by the way, in the power rankings, as I just said. This is, we're in know-it-all season right now. We are all certain how things are going to play out. And right now, the football cognizante. It's only 3 minutes. I got to go. Is certain the Bills are a beastly juggernaut, destined for 14 wins, the trip to the Super Bowl. However, is there a weakness we are overlooking? Are the Bills really that good, Cindy?
I mean, I think that we obviously need to see what happens with this running back who was inconsistent, James Cook, if he can help them out there. They have nice to have. They're a very complete team. They have done a nice job of drafting year in and year out. So they're in good shape, and they have the most important position in all of football. And I don't know if the Patriots got much better. And while the Jets got better, I don't know if it's enough. So division matters a lot. Who are you playing?
Well, they've changed a lot. I think that was a good idea, but they have four or five new starters in offense, about four new ones on defense. You have a new play caller. That wasn't that many new ones on defense, but like how quickly can they transition? Their offense did not come out of the gates very strong last year.
No.
They were up and down from seven in the system.
Though.
I know it's a different play caller though with Ken Dorsey there.
He's been there though.
To me, that matters. I think to answer your question though, offensive line was up and down at best. Last season, you bring in Roger Saffold, who's more of a run blocker, like right tackle is a question mark. I don't look at that offensive line and think like that's a great group. At best, it's average.
I'm with you on the Dorsey thing because he has been there. They're not changing the offense. It's anything. It's an extension of what Brian Daboll did. But when you look at like Kyle Shanahan and guys that are such good in-game play callers and links so richly to the quarterback that I think that just the idea that Daboll can be replaced and how what he did with Josh Allen, that's the big question mark for me, because you're going to get into sticky situations where Daboll's creativity and what he did was the special sauce. Can Ken Dorsey do that? It's a different human being.
Right. Gabe Davis is now a two. Jamison Crowder's new to this team. McKenzie's in a different role. It's different.
Yeah, it feels like this. Jamison Crowder is another. I really like that move. I think he's going to be an upgrade over Cole Beasley.
And they doubled down on it by getting a wide receiver that has a similar profile late in the game.
Yes, and my only concern here is what you said, that they did start slow last year. By the end of the season, they were unstoppable. But with the change in the OC, will the offense be where it needs to be? But you also make the point about the division, and I just don't think the Pats, obviously, we saw it in those last two matchups, needed to really jump up. I don't think they did, and I think that's going to help them as well.
Yeah, it's interesting for me because the Bills get, of all of the AFC divisions, and I mean, maybe the South is one you'd want to be in, although I don't know, that was confusing too. This one, it feels like it's a lot more stable than the other ones. Mm. So
I just love the offseason. I feel like they've had one of the best offseasons.
100%.
The defensive players they've added to.
Was Kyle,
on top of
what
on,
about Kyle Brandt? Was that a jinx for the ages?
No, that was good.
I wouldn't look at it that way.
Oh.
It was a branding opportunity. We're going to be playing yes. that while the Bills are going to the Super Bowl.
This is every time with Greg, why can't Greg just be quiet?
We have this beautiful sound. We've already laid out the rules that you can't talk anymore.
What if I like the trank? You know, give it to me.
Well, it's got to. Can the tranquilizer work? Maybe. Like it seems to have no effect.
We're taking Greg straight to Promises in Malibu after this show. All right. Speaking of Greg, now you can talk, Greg, on your Pats.
Okay. I want to know if they did enough defensively. There's been so much focus post draft about these guys that they drafted before anyone expected. Cole Strange, Tyquan Thornton. I get it. Like, you got Joe Judge and Matt Patricia running your offense. That's a little concerning. But I think their offensive roster is quite good. I look at this defense. That's what got them embarrassed late last year. A bunch of guys in their front seven, other than Christian Barmore, that were extremely up and down. Matthew Judon didn't really show up in the last month, and the rest of the guys I don't have a lot of faith in. Your top two cornerbacks right now are still Malcolm Butler and Jalen Mills, at least on the outside. I did like the third-round pick, Marcus Jones. But do we have faith in Bill Belichick still, Mark, to just, like, figure out everything, especially on the defensive side of the ball, where I'm telling you, this roster just isn't looking that good. It looks slow.
I'm with you. I feel hubris coming out of this organization right now. And Bill Belichick, to me, I've never thought this about him, feels a little bit asleep at the wheel. I mean, I look back at the Shaq Mason trade, where you gave the Bucks Shaq Mason for essentially, like, a rusty hammer. I don't know how that went down.
Right, not even a regular hammer.
Right. J.C. Jackson out the door, and you're hoping to replace these guys with a very strange collection of draft picks. I am suspicious.
I look at this, and I'm going to say one positive thing. I like their strategy for always taking a late-round quarterback, because if you do happen to hit on that, not saying that Bailey Zappi's the future, but I do think it's a smart drafting strategy overall. Fourth, fifth, sixth-round kind of guy. If you happen to hit on this guy, even if he's your backup, that can be really helpful, because remember, now backups are commanding like $12 million just to do...
If he's Mac Jones's backup for 3 years, that's a great fourth-round pick. I don't need to... He had 62 touchdowns. That can't be wrong.
I'm just saying, like, I think it's, I'm trying to be positive
here,
because there's
you.
A lot, you know, I feel like a lot
Greg's
of people have been like very, very down on the Patriots,
right,
and I don't think they got a lot better, but I think that is a really smart strategy.
Cole Strange is going to be a locked and loaded guard for them 7 years from now, so everybody could calm down with the laughter. And I do think, Greg, you and I have been not at loggerheads over it, but you think I don't give Mac Jones enough pop. It's certainly within the realm of reason that he takes a big year two jump here. And they did get him Devontae Parker. I would have liked that they went and were a little more aggressive in the draft and got him another player.
I mean, they took a guy in the 50th overall.
You're mad about... We brought up the Ken Dorsey thing with the new play caller, but somehow with the Mac Jones getting a new play caller and that his head coach, who is
a
very good play caller, now he's gone?
Yeah, I guess I'm more...
We're not worried about that.
And their coaching staff has like five people on it.
I mean, they didn't take one.
And what is his son? Which I hate nepotism in the NFL.
Maybe they're wrong. Maybe they're right about Tyquan Thornton, but people were really surprised, like just a straight line speed guy, 50th overall.
Maybe I'm just scarred because Denzel Mims was also a highly tight second round pick out of Baylor.
Right.
So that turned out.
None of the Baylor receivers have worked.
I used to play this on repeat in my car, like in high school.
Oh, I know you did.
Yeah.
I taught Pilates in college, and I would always
play this song. That's okay. If it's non-team related talk, and easy with the Tranks in general, Grave, you're trying to kill us over here.
I'm trigger happy.
Like we're elephants
sorry.
In the wild.
Just a bit.
You're
I gave
to take
him,
us
I gave
to
him
the
some
village.
Finger guns. He's got to learn when to just ignore me.
All right, Sessler, here you go. The Dolphins.
All right, Dolphins.
Pilates. They,
good stuff. I like it. Take a class sometime.
Sessler wants out.
They have no. They, the Dolphins, like, look at this. Tyreek Hill, Teron Armstead, two amazing additions. Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert. And when you look at Mike McDaniel, I trust that he'll maximize those running backs. I think they've hopscotched the Patriots from a roster perspective.
Oh.
And they look stronger than the Jets.
Oh.
From one angle, I think it's fair to ask the public, can you smell what Hard Rock is cooking down in Miami?
Oh, okay. No.
But do you trust, I would say this, do you trust
that's pretty good, Greg.
Tua
that's pretty good.
To take it to the next level? I know that's almost just the obvious question. I mean, he has zero excuses. He has a Shanahan offshoot who does great things with quarterbacks. In today's NFL, though, if Tua is not a totally different version of who he is, I don't think there's any chance he's their quarterback this time next offseason.
I was going to take it a step further and say, how, you know, when does Teddy Bridgewater enter the picture here? Because I don't know if he makes it to Halloween if he doesn't hit the ground running. Because this is year three now. And they have put a really solid team around him. They gave him a Hall of Fame, next level, one of one, number one wide receiver. Jaylen Waddle had one of the best rookie seasons in recent NFL history. He is a stud. And now you have the opportunity here to take your offense to the next step. And if they don't, I think patience will run out fast.
Yeah,
I agree. And yet I kind of think modest improvement from Tua to where he's like an average NFL starting quarterback, somewhere close to where Teddy was for Denver last year. And this team is going to be a lot better because the team around, because everything else is going to be better. You know, I don't know if he needs to excel for this team to win 10 games. They're over under is over the Patriots. They're right. Don't you think, Cynthia, it's weird, though, that like they didn't have any picks this year. So right. They went from like rebuilding. We're all about picks. That's all we care about is picks. And then they blew all the picks to now they're the team with no picks. And it's the same guy, Chris Greer.
Yeah, Chris Greer's had like seven different coaches now. So he's got to sell out. Otherwise, he's gone. Right. So they still have their corners, by the way. And I really like both of their corners, obviously, with Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. That's really helpful. Really nice for them. Also, I think I love the Cedric Wilson drama and whatever, going back and forth and whatever, which was hilarious, like low key.
What is it? I don't know the Cedric Wilson drama.
Basically, like Dallas was trying to keep him and that like it was just a lot of drama over Cedric, which is, I mean, he's their third, not to be mean, but it's, you know, wide receiver number three. And there was just all this fighting. It's funny.
I kind of like the third round pick, Channing Tindall.
It's like his name.
He just seems like a guy. He's going to play right away. He was probably behind a Landon Roberts as a run stopping guy. You can get a Landon Roberts out of your line.
Talking to Handsome Hank, big Dolphins fan, future general manager of UK properties for the NFL.
Woo-hoo!
Quite a promotion, staying at his castle. And he was a little bummed in Vegas that there was no juice. Well, Tyreek Hill was your first round pick,
right.
Essentially.
You have to look at it that way.
Yeah. So that's
100%.
Nice.
100%.
That's not how the draft works, though. It's aggressive.
You were technically talking about the team still.
Well, I won't next time.
Cindy on the Jets.
Okay. The Jets did a really, really nice job with this draft. Probably the best draft overall, especially with their fourth place schedule. They probably got the most better. That's terrible English, but they probably improved the most. I also liked that they added Laken Tomlinson. You know, we forget about some of these offensive line pieces. You know, obviously he came over from San Francisco. There's familiarity with his head coach. I think if you look to see what do you really need to evaluate, what is Zach Wilson the guy, yes or no? Because clearly it's not Joe Flacco. Like, he's not competing for that real job, right? So when you look to see, like, okay, what can we do? Well, we can load him up with a really good wide receiver. We can see Elijah Moore, if he can stay healthy, could be great. I don't know if Corey Davis is going to come back on. I hope he stays healthy, but he has been oft injured. I think actually adding Jeremy Ruckert, who teammates with Garrett Wilson at Ohio State, that was a really nice add as well. Breece Hall was many people's consensus number one running back. They stole Jermaine Johnson and Ahmad Gardner. Some people had him as their number one corner. Some people had him as number two. So clearly they got their guy. And I love the whole, like, you were always the one. He was from one Detroit man to another. You were always the one. I thought that was funny. But they still have a lot of pieces, too. It's not like they were five players away, right? So there are some question marks here. Mekhi Becton needs to pay off because that's a, you know, physical, a huge situation to have to overcome if your left tackle isn't good. Their right tackle is George Fant right now, listed in the number one on the depth chart. Like, that's kind of scary as well. So we'll have to see. But low-key, CJ Uzomah, also a good ad. So
I mean, that addition.
Your model has them jumping up, what, like four wins to 7.2?
It was like 2.5. It was like 2.5 wins overall, in part because they play a fourth-place schedule, so it tipped the scales to have a better chance to win some of those games, and that's a really big increase. It's not, you know, I like Jets fans. I want you to be happy, but one cornerback does not an entire defense make, you know, so you gotta figure out that defense.
They did, I mean, DJ Reed, so they've kind of overmade that. To me, not to oversimplify it, but it does the tackle positions and the quarterback, because they've now built a compelling roster, not a Super Bowl roster, but now there's pieces in play. Fant, does he stay healthy? Is he going to be good enough? Becton, is he going to get his weight under control and be a real player? And can Zach Wilson do it? Those are all still big questions, but they've at least made themselves intriguing as a team.
They're intriguing. I mean, you feel like there is a, from a bird's eye view, a real plan that kind of married the draft and free agency together and made the Jets better. The one thing I don't like in the New York market, but just national in general, is when everyone is saying the team is now competent and could be successful if the quarter, it's like a lot of pressure on Zach Wilson to
make
a big step. And I'm just not sure, based on what we saw last year, that he has that in him. I mean, he's another player like Tua that might not be there a year from
now
in the starting spot.
He's in a great situation for a second-year quarterback, I think. This isn't a totally rebuilding team. Joe Douglas got hired 4 years ago, and this was his third year drafting.
Yeah, I was about to say, he didn't draft that
four years ago. It's his third full year. So this is like when you're supposed to show your wares, and I think he's done it. I think he's done it.
They're set up pretty well. Oh, I thought I was going to get away with it. All right, everybody, hold right there. Let's take a quick break, a responsible break. We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Let's move to AFC North. Greg, get us going with the defending conference champions.
Okay, so I talked about the Saints being built to stop today's passing attacks. I think that's the Bengals' identity. And yeah, it's the their first identity, of course, is their quarterback and his pass catchers and the skill position guys. How special they're going to be is how far they're going to go. But defensively, this Bengals team, by taking two players in the secondary to start their draft in Daxton Hill and then Cameron Taylor-Britt, to me, just makes this secondary potentially special. They have 7 or 8 really competent guys. I think they were a pretty good secondary before. Mm-hmm. Now you can get so multiple. You got Mike Hilton and Daxton Hill. Daxton Hill can do a lot of different things, like incredibly athletic. Maybe Eli Apple is kicked out of the starting lineup, but when he's suddenly your 4th or 5th cornerback,
makes sense.
That looks great. And I really like the idea that they kind of know who they are, and they also look at the rest of the AFC, I think, and look at the Bills, they look at the Chiefs, and they think, how can we slow down these two teams? And I think more than almost any team in the AFC, they're built for it.
I mean, they don't get to the Super Bowl last year without ball hawking secondary play. They don't beat the Titans necessarily. I mean, they were in all those games in such close affairs. I love what they did. I love what they did along the offensive line. It's like they were the one team where it was like Duke Tobin at the combine when we talked to him, this is what you need to go do. And they went and did it exactly with a precise plan around protecting Joe Burrow.
I thought they might go even deeper and go take another one in the draft. They went 4th round. But three starters and three agency getting 3 starters.
I think they're a much better team. And there was a lot of magic sprinkle dust over the Bengals in January and into February, and they almost took it all the way home. One last drive when Eli Apple got exposed, by the way, on that final drive, but was good before that. But like, this now is a team that they aggressively attacked their deficiencies. I think it's a better team. Now, it's very hard to run it back after something like that. So I understand that. But Cindy, they're better. They're better.
Yeah. I think they're going to have to answer some questions at tight end because CJ Uzomah was a big factor there. And I do think they probably
could have.
I like
a little Hayden Hurst action, though.
Maybe.
Know CJ fits so well. Right. So can he do that?
And then also think they probably should have added to the running back position because the use for Joe Mixon made him, he got hurt. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying if there were two areas of improvement, maybe those were.
Do struggle to see them as the third best team. Part of it is like they went on a magical run.
Yeah,
I don't know that's exactly who they are because prior to that, they were hot and cold.
Because they didn't say, oh, look what we did last year. We're going to bring back the same team. There's been significant turnover here. Mike Hilton had a good quote here. People are predicting them as a one-hit wonder. Why? Because it's the Bengals, point blank, period. When you think of the Bengals, you're like, oh, the Bengals, you know. But now with this group of guys we have and the coaches we have, we're really turning this organization
Lou
around.
Lou Anarumo.
We want respect.
Paisan.
We made jokes about him a year ago. So
not anymore.
Right.
Not anymore.
You can shoot me all you want. It seems to have no effect.
It's making me better. It's making me talk more.
Mark, your beloved Steelers.
The Steelers. I mean, I was just thinking about how in the run of this podcast, we've never seen anything close to a Steelers team as deeply in transition as they are right now. I mean, it obviously starts at a quarterback. It has me intrigued, though, because we called them draft winners coming out of that weekend, and I think they were. If you look at their lineup on offense, Najee Harris, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Pat Freiermuth, who I like a lot, George Pickens and Calvin Austin. Kenny Pickett, I think, is winning this battle. Only Deontay Johnson remains as a starter from week 1 2 seasons ago. They've changed a lot. My one question, because they've had a nice offseason, their offensive line was an Achilles heel last year. They haven't done much there, and that gives me bad vibes about putting either Mitch Trubisky behind a line like that or a rookie quarterback. Is this rebuild put on hold a little bit because of that situation?
Maybe that's the case for starting things off with Mitch Trubisky, a guy who can move. A part of the problem with their setup was that they had a literal statue, a 270-pound statue behind center.
A
Stone Age pony. Yeah. He may be the ultimate since Dan Marino post-Achilles Stone Age pony. And now if you get a guy behind there that can move a bit, Pickett obviously can move better than Big Ben at this stage. That's going to help. But you're right. That is a real concern.
I'm more worried about their coaching and their evaluation than what they did this offseason. They brought in 2 starters. I mean, Mason Cole from the Vikings. James Daniels was like a nice free agent signing. It was more that they gave Chuka Okorafor a huge contract.
3-year deal.
PFF had him as one of the worst tackles in the league for what it's worth. You have a 4th-round, second-year player, Dan Moore, at left tackle, who they like. And look, look pretty good, but that's asking a lot out of a mismatched group who really never has made up for the fact that Mike Munchak left. Basically, when Mike Munchak left, this offense changed in terms of their offensive line.
When I look at the line and I look at the situation, remember, you know, you had an outgoing GM and you don't know who's coming in next. I think he's like, I want to be the guy that got all the good receivers. I don't give a crap about this O-line. Like, I want this is my last one. Here's the icing on the cake, my chef's kiss. He is great at it, but it's not sexy to take 300-pound men that don't move very much. You need it. I obviously am an advocate for it, but I don't know.
What did the model say about Pickett as a prospect?
Most pro ready, had the most snaps facing weird defenses, meaning not base defense, meaning disguised looks in the secondary, non-traditional fronts, things that you'll see in the NFL. So highest passer rating also when facing these situations. So was the most pro ready, if that's how you're going to define pro ready.
Did you guys see the video of the phone call from Tomlin to Pickett? Huge smile on his face. You don't see Tom like this. So happy and excited. And I was just like, that looks like a guy who's like, I found my starter. Week one, let's roll with the kid, Mac Jones, with the Patriots.
I don't have to start my Stone Age pony. You think he enjoyed starting Ben last year?
Not a bit.
He should be coach of the year every year, just for all the crap he's had to deal with.
Whoa!
You cannot praise anyone around
sheriff.
Here.
Let's put the gun down, all right?
Yes.
Justin, let's let the guest, we have a wonderful guest, Cynthia, here. Let's try not to trank her unless she really deserves it.
Okay.
Greg, fire away. He likes it.
Right, right. Yes.
Cindy, cut her some slack.
When it feels offensive to the listener, pull the trigger.
You can pull the trigger whenever you want.
He's drunk
with
power.
Treat me like everyone
else. He can't
get
drunk otherwise, so he's drunk with power.
I swore an oath not to.
That was a tough one. That was a real test of your loyalty. And,
he also did not comply entirely.
Yeah, that one.
He said he would attempt to.
He tried to do his best.
I trust him. How about the Ravens, Cynthia?
Ooh, the Ravens had an awesome draft. I really think having a guy that fits your system so perfectly, like Kyle Hamilton did, fall to 14, which this guy, for me, if you had to say ahead of the draft, neutral, it could go to any team. Who is the guy that's most likely to become all pro first? It was Kyle Hamilton. Mm. So you're getting this, and I understand there's some positional value things here where some people don't think safety is as easily, you know, that one's not as high value position as some of the others, but I would argue kind of the opposite. With all these teams playing multiple defensive backs, a whole bunch of packages where you need at least five defensive backs, his use is going to be from day one really, really important. He also is great at blitzing. They have kind of all of these different ways where he goes and sideline to sideline. He probably dropped because at the combine he didn't run as fast of a 40 as other people, totally ridiculous.
Matter.
Right. And then they added Tyler Linderbaum. I love this pick. I understand an interior O lineman is not necessarily the sexiest pick. Some people think like positional value, again, center isn't as great, but Linderbaum could kick out to the left guard, right guard. I understand they have Kevin Zeitler there, but you know, they're trying to figure out how to replace a guy who had, you know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer that just left two seasons ago. So now you got to figure out along this O-line, okay, what are we going to do to keep our quarterback who likes to run and do kind of scrambling drills? We need this line to just hold as long as possible. Running, passing downs, doesn't matter. The only question mark that didn't push them up higher in terms of total value in the draft is now they created a problem that they have to solve at wide receiver. And that is something that there's still wide receivers left to look at in free agency, but it did create a new problem for them to have. But as far as the draft went, I mean, I'm pretty sure that they crushed. Like
killed it.
I was kicking myself for not calling them a winner the other day because I feel like they had about as good a draft as anyone. Travis Jones, their third round defensive tackle, could play right away. And they're going to be playing three safeties all the time now.
All the time.
But that's how the league is moving. The Patriots did that quite a bit last year. They took the guy in the fourth round, Henry's guy, Daniel Falele, another rugby player who's now the biggest man in the NFL, 386 pounds. And he's a guy kind of like Jordan Mailata who's going to be rough around the edges. But if you're going to land with a team the Ravens are the right
team.
And
they won 8 games a year ago due to great coaching and just because it's the Ravens with a shattered secondary, with a backfield that was broken from before the start of the season, which is a huge part of what they want to do. The wide receiver thing is sticky. But if there's a team that maybe had one less wide receiver than other teams and would still thrive, I think it could be Baltimore.
This is my pick.
Dear Debo.
Go sign Jarvis Landry. Yeah.
Figure out Debo. You're going to pay someone? Pay Debo.
There,
he's a known entity.
He would be annoyed by week three, though, in Baltimore. I think that's the problem.
I feel like Jarvis would catch like 80 passes there.
They're my pick for the division winner on May 3rd. I just feel like they're due for a big bounce back season. Comeback season approaches in Charm City, which leads us to the Cleveland Browns. So last week, Major League Baseball handed out a 324-game suspension to Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer. The ban covered two full seasons, longest punishment under the sport's domestic violence policy since it was instituted in August 2015. Cut to the NFL, different circumstances, but obviously some troubling allegations connected to Watson. His fate with the NFL's yet to be announced, and we don't know how this is going to end with Watson, and it's, you know, like it or not, Cleveland looms as a superpower in the conference when you combine that roster with Watson. But when will Watson actually play a game? The Browns went 8-9 last season with Baker. I don't see them being much better with Jake Brisket behind center. So that's my question. When will we find out when Watson plays? And would it be possible that they got really tough on him the way baseball did on Bauer? NFL's, it hasn't been their style to be that way. But you wonder if the baseball thing can affect the football thing.
Well, it's a huge question because the way that the NFL hands down punishment doesn't always feel that there's a rhyme or reason from case A to B to C. They handle things differently. And this one has been as murky as possible. I don't have a huge read on what the NFL will do here.
Yeah, the longer it goes and just the little whispers of anything, I'm worried, no offense to the Browns, of course, that it's going to go the other way, that it might be less than we expect or that he could be on the field sooner, that they don't take it too seriously. And then you kind of look at, okay, what do they have? One thing that struck me about their draft was, like, David Bell is a third round pick. He's going to play for them probably. Like, he's kind of a pro ready looking, maybe he's in the slot there. Like, they need receivers. They don't really have receivers. More than any team in the NFL, I feel like they could use Odell Beckham. Like, they feel like the best fit for Odell Beckham right now. I mean, it's hard to imagine, but like, David Bell might be their number two right now, their third round pick.
They're thin at wideout and they're thin at defensive tackle. Their roster is not overly
impressive. They have a lot of great pieces too, though. But it's like, but all that, I'm glad you're throwing out the other aspects that are around the Browns right now. But ultimately, it all goes back to what's going on with Watson and the mystery. And you know what? It's going to be a really, really, and we've had these conversations before, but bad look for the league if one of the major leagues comes down hard on a prominent, that's a Cy Young Award winner, and then NFL drops a four-game ban or something. That, I mean, nothing would surprise me anymore, but
like they can wrap this up. Let's wrap it up, NFL. You got the Hugh Jackson investigation done in a couple of weeks. It's been 2 years almost.
I feel dark energy around this team. I know that's personal feelings involved, but it's kind of like when Andre the Giant turned bad. It was like this, just as this was a team that you was sort of a lovable loser, and they went to dark places. I don't enjoy it at all.
Yeah, it is a bummer. The Lions kind of taken that mantle.
No. Don't you dare compare the Lions to the Browns. No.
They're the new fun team.
They're the new lovable losers.
Right. That's what we're saying.
Got it. Okay.
The lovable underdog on the come up.
This is different. This right here, this is different. We're saying nothing about this team. I want nothing to say about this team. Next.
Why don't we move on to the AFC
Perfect.
South? Wait, do we need to take a break? Graver.
Yes.
Okay, let's take a break and we'll hit the AFC South.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. You can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game. That's my game.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
All right, we're back. Here we go. Sessler, Titans.
The Titans. They strike me as a team that have floated away to some degree. I see a club that traded away its best player in A.J. Brown. We've talked about that a ton. They drafted their QB of tomorrow in Malik Willis, which has Ryan Tannehill now basically in the odd position of playing for his job, because I think he's going to hear it from fans and everyone else right out of the gate if he struggles, and that's a possibility. You've got Derrick Henry, who has been leaned on super heavy forever, and an offensive line that I see questions at left guard. I see questions at right tackle. I don't love that for Ryan Tannehill either. It helps to be in a junky division, but this feels like a lesser version of last year's team right now. We are where we are today. Am I being too tough on Gravedigger's hyper fetish?
Can I hear the Tannehill quote? And I just want to hear this
from today,
going around a little bit. Sad. Tannehill on Malik Willis and you know, that new partnership in the quarterback room.
I mean, that's part of being in a quarterback room in the same room. You know, we're competing against each other. We're you know, watching the same tape. We're doing the same drills. I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but you know, if he learns from me along the way, then and that's a great thing.
Graver, I don't have a problem with that. I know some people are going to say it makes him seem selfish.
Also looks worse in print than it does the way he said it.
There's missing part of it, because part of it was talking about, he's like, I had to go to therapy last time when I was the, like, he talks about like how he really struggled and like has overcome struggles. And he mentions therapy by name.
Therapy, so, connected to the Dolphins
like
situation.
Getting out of when he was in a mental headspace before, and it's, he worked himself
he
out
the
of lot, it.
The loss,
and
the too, playoff the, loss. The,
yeah,
it was the
loss. Yeah, the
but
playoff loss.
I think this is something where you like know enough about Ryan Tannehill's character and how his teammates have reacted to him and everything about him like throughout his career. That's like, he's just being honest. The same thing Eli Manning said. And yet Eli Manning was like great friends with Danny Jones. Doesn't mean he's not going to be a professional. He's just answering the question to me.
I like it. I'd rather hear the truth. Like, yeah. Also, you don't have A.J. Brown anymore. Like, that's going to be a heck of a lot harder.
He's got to be annoyed like with
he's
some of the stuff
so
that's
annoyed.
Happened.
Here's what I'd be annoyed about. Like, Gravedigger talked before the draft, like, what's their biggest need is offensive line. Mm-hmm. They were a mess last year. They didn't really address that this offseason. So that would have me very concerned. One of the worst offensive lines in the league without A.J. Brown.
Is that your biggest concern, Gravedigger?
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting here now. The draft and free agency are complete, and we still don't know who two of their starters are. That's kind of crazy.
I want you to
guards,
keep talking and then tranquilize yourself.
Tackles. Oh, that's why. Mark was giving Gravedigger the international sign for stretch. Yeah.
Stretch it out.
Anybody that's picking up a little bit of tension between Mark and Gravedigger right off the bat?
I'm glad I could be here for this. I'm glad I could see their origination story.
This is good.
I wouldn't call it tension.
I think the Titans are a worse team right now than they were than the team that played the Bengals in January. So that's probably not a good place to be.
Which team they play in January?
Why?
The Bengals.
Trank yourself. Trank it.
I mean,
stupid. Colts.
Colts.
Jim Irsay said last week he believed Matt Ryan could play another four seasons with the Colts. The owner's rosy viewpoint echoed in their draft class, included 8 picks, no quarterbacks. You know, Chris Ballard lost that first rounder in the doomed Carson Wentz acquisition of 2021, but he still came out of Vegas with solid haul. Included offensive players with each of the first 3 picks. The Colts struggled to score points with Wentz last season, especially down the stretch. Do we trust this attack with Matt Ryan leading the way to improve enough to put them in the conversation with the AFC's lead? I just want to one more thing. This team was looking really good in mid-December. 9 of 12, great running game, defense getting stops.
Best on fourth down.
Just taking care of business, and then it all fell apart. Are they that far away, or do they not have enough?
I think that, you know, given where they were drafting and what they were looking at, I like that they cut their losses with Carson Wentz before. I mean, if it's not going to be the right solution, don't try to force it to work.
We've seen
this
happen.
Take the L and move on. Matt Ryan. This is a guy who we've seen how good he's been with play action. They got to a Super Bowl when he was able to effectively use play action. You know when you can use play action? When you have a good running back. So I think that this is an interesting... And in this division, like, tell me how the other teams got so significantly better.
Tennessee's not better.
It's similar, but they also have holes. I don't think this roster as good as it was when Philip Rivers was there. They kind of remind me of the late Mike Shanahan era Broncos, where I swear it was like the coaching and the play calling was great, but the talent wasn't quite all the way there. Because this receiver group, maybe Alec Pierce hits as a second round pick, but it's a mid-level receiver pick. They drafted Bernard Raimann in the third round.
Raimann, who may
start at left tackle. They don't really have an experience at left tackle.
Let's do it together.
They were assigned Marcel Dabo, though, from Germany, and we want to go cover this game in Germany. So I just want to put that out there. They were assigned. Every team in the AFC South got an international player pathway program guy from Henry Hudson. He just gives it out to a different division every year, and this year he gave it to one in every
AFC South. You get a Snickers, you get a Twix,
they got my
you
favorite,
get a whatchamacallit.
By the way, they got my favorite tight end, though, in the draft. They got the Jelani Woods. That's my favorite.
The point is, send us to Germany.
That was the point of the Colts.
And I want to just throw that out there. It was IPP day. It was a big day.
You know, Graver's thinking about that. German. Graver's like, I'm in the chair now.
I'll teach you swears in German. That's what I can help you with. Grew up in Luxembourg, so I can teach you swears in German.
Oh, I'd love to know German swears.
Wait, can you swear in German and that wouldn't need to be bleeped here?
Yeah. I'm not going to find out. This is not the reason I want to talk to
you.
I just learned you grew up in Luxembourg like a week ago, and that's...
I can swear in French, in German.
How about like a soft German swear? Like not the worst thing ever.
Nope, not going to get in trouble. My boss is already trying to like sell me for a pack of cigarettes, so, you know, I don't need to add to that.
Yeah, but
let's
like
talk
it.
About that.
Keep going.
Let's put 3 minutes on the clock for that. All right, let's move on now to the Houston Texans. Cindy.
What do you want me to say about the Texans?
I don't know. You tell me.
Okay, so... They clearly seem to be believing in Davis Mills. Whether or not the rest of us think that that's the truth, I don't know. It seems like they are. I did think that the John Mechie wide receiver pickup, you know, people stopped talking about him because he got hurt kind of in the season before draft season picked up. But John Mechie, watch his film. He's right up there with some of those top guys. I mean, Alabama guys. Like, this is a guy who's... very, very good. Also,
this is how the Patriots get in trouble when they hire other Patriots guys elsewhere. Because I guarantee you, they would have taken John Mechie with their second round pick, but instead, 100%. Casario took it.
You know, they took Derek Stingley, Derek Stingley again. It was 1-2 for which corners, but he does fit the Lovie Smith system. Now that means there's a little bit of projection there, because is he going to be the guy we saw in 2019 when he was all world at LSU, or are we going to see the guy the past 2 years that
is
was
Lovie Smith going to be the coach in 2 years?
That's my question.
I don't know. Yeah. But I will have to, there's some low key thing I have to point out. And there's like Austin Deckless. He's their potential right tackle. He's a 6th round pick. This kid, he went to LSU. He eats turtles. His grandmother made him turtle stew, and he was the most entertaining person that I've talked to in a really long time.
Wow.
You talked to him at East West Shrine. So this is the type of stuff you get. Turtle eating.
Like what the shell part of, and
what,
everything?
What was it like? Did you, what? Like a
he
cow,
fried it.
Okay.
I've had turtle before. Like
it's southern.
You cut off like the arms, legs, and head, and you'd eat the rest.
Like
I'm
a meat, nice chewy meat.
He said it didn't taste like chicken, but he didn't know what it tasted like, and he said maybe more like turkey. But this kid's nuts. Like he's super fun to talk
to. Turtle is almost like to me like the human of the reptiles.
But he
said it looks like a little old man.
It's too human for me. Yes.
So now I'm gonna eat it.
I'm a tortoise owner. I was a turtle owner. Now I'm a tortoise owner. We've got old Nori in the backyard. Yeah, now maybe I wouldn't eat it, but it was good.
What did it taste good like?
In like a gumbo.
But that's something like fun you can know meat. About Austin Deckles. I hope he makes the team. I'm rooting for him.
So many
sweet
holes
kid.
On that team.
And he like loved his grandma so much. He's like anything. She could have gotten me to eat my finger. You know.
I love learning about swamp people. This is very interesting.
Exactly.
But 9 draft picks in Vegas. Derek Stingley, Kenyon Green, at 15 overall. Jalen Petrie, the safety out of Baylor. John Metchie, as we talked about. Those are all starters for a team that needs to build.
I think Casario's kind of done a good job. Last year was just a disaster, but like Davis Mills deserves a second chance.
Sure.
Always thought this was a potential landing spot for Baker Mayfield, and it's never come up once.
But it's just interesting because like the backup team is Jeff Driscoll, so it's not like you're sitting here being like, hey, let's give him a chance, but then like put a veteran. Like, where's the Brian Hoyer of this situation, right? That's not what Jeff Driscoll is.
That makes too much sense. I think they are a little bit of an underdog to get Baker at some
but
point.
Why? Wouldn't you rather have the younger
that's
guy?
That's what you need.
That
another
in
crazy
your building
person
that showed something.
I think they want to see Davis Mills hard.
I like
hard
Davis
time.
Mills.
I do too.
Don't put it down. Put it down. Jacksonville Jaguars. Greg Rosenthal.
So my question with them is trying enough? Like they're trying. You can't say that the Jaguars aren't trying. The Bears, I have a question if the Bears are trying enough. I don't know if the Titans are trying enough.
So dismissive.
The Jaguars are absolutely trying to fix the worst franchise in the league, you know, based on wins, based on their coach. They have at least 10 new starters combined between their offense and defense. But when I look at their offense, I guess my question is, like, Cynthia, do you think it's enough? Because I look at what's around Trevor Lawrence, and maybe it's a little better. They made the decision to keep the offensive line more or less the same. You brought in Brandon Scherff, who was a big addition in terms of a run blocker, but you re-signed Cam Robinson instead of drafting someone. And I look at that group around him, and I just thought, is it enough? Because I'm not overly impressed.
Well, Walker Little is there, so your kids are going to be happy to know.
Walker is a big fan of Walker Little, yes.
A fan like favorite. I don't know if it's going to be enough. This seems to be, they made some interesting decisions that I don't know, but the thing that they did really well was screw everyone else up in the wide receiver market, which was pretty epic for them by that Christian Kirk comp in the marketplace.
They really
stuck it to a lot of other teams because people are like, I am way better than Christian Kirk. You're going to need to pay me.
Right.
See all of the rest of the contracts that followed. So I think it's going to look better. And I think low key, the best news for Trevor Lawrence is the fact that Travis Etienne will be back. I think that's super
true.
Helpful. Using him along with James Robinson will be a big upgrade. I mean, Luke Fortner, the third round pick as a center. Okay. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. And their defense did get better up front. And I do like their linebacker picks, but it was kind of like, they were like, let's just throw a dart. We're going to put 10 names here. And then these are sort of our consensus 10 at this pick. And we'll just throw a dart and pick that. Cause you know, why would you, Devin Lloyd is awesome. But then like doubling down with Chad Muma after that, like we're sort of redundancy is interesting.
I do have questions about how much power Doug Peterson has inside the structure of that team, because the lead up to the draft was just like, this camp wants this player, this camp wants this player. Never even heard about Doug Peterson. My other thing though is that I organizationally, to go from last year where Trevor Lawrence spent the entire season like in a bathtub of total chaos under Urban and Meyer, they're a much better team, I think, just in every possible way, because they've removed a total cancer.
And maybe Doug Peterson has power in the organization. Maybe he doesn't. But you know what we do know is he's a professional. He's been here before. The guy's got a ring.
I love Doug
Peterson.
He's
going to be a guy.
He has a great analytics
guy,
too.
Author.
One of my favorite analytics people.
He's going to be a professional that's going to help the kid, Trevor Lawrence, build on it. And every year, there is a team that nobody even thinks about.
Ooh.
The Bengals last year. I'm not
it's
saying
not
the Jags are that team.
Bad division.
But don't be surprised if they're hanging around in the division race and after, you know, Thanksgiving.
After?
Don't be surprised.
Okay. Wow.
Okay, maybe I would give you Halloween.
Or the AFC South winner wins 7 games.
There's right. A, that's what I think is. Yeah,
I do. I'm trying to teach Justin to take the path of peace. But sometimes you got to pick up the piece. And you know what I mean by
I
that.
I think you did a good job there actually shooting an assortment of us.
The triangle.
It actually took me a second, but I got there.
And you
got
to blast
I
that
I thought you
beaver.
Were saying pace, but like using a different... Anyways.
All right. We're getting close now. Let's head to the AFC West. Let's close things out. Cindy, starting with the Chiefs.
Best division in football.
Oh, yeah.
Chiefs had a very, very good draft. The problem is that when you have a lot of things that are, it's a totally different tack. They've had some interesting different strategies, right? The year after the Super Bowl, they brought back a lot of their starters. So they had a lot of continuity. And of course, during COVID, that continuity was an advantage. But then you remake this O-line and you kind of remake the O-line that are better at run blocking and then pass blocking, and then you pass a ton. So it takes a while for the two things to kind of come together. And then now you add a lot of different pieces. Obviously, you get rid of Tyreek Hill, who you're not going to replace, but you add some pieces that are very good. So Trent McDuffie, their first round pick that they went up to go and get, and then George Karlaftis, again, adding at a position of need. This is interesting. And by the way, I love the Leo Chenal pick because Steve Spagnuolo defenses, it takes them all to a little bit to come together because it's a more complicated defense. Trent McDuffie does have a lot of the different attributes, and he's played at the system most similarly to what Spags has done. So I think that will help quickly. But, you know, it's going to the wide receiver room, that is going to take a couple of games for even a guy with the talent level of Patrick Mahomes to get used to having. I mean, other than his tight end, it's all
so
different.
So this is it. This is where we're at. Travis Kelce is still the lead dog here at the tight end spot. But Juju Smith-Schuster, MVS, Sky Moore, Mark, you think that is that
McCole Hardman.
McCole Hardman. Josh Gordon's still there, enough?
I think in on other teams...
I'll stop at Josh
Maybe
Gordon.
Not, but you have Patrick Mahomes, and I can't think of a team that I trust more under Andy Reid to make this work somehow.
It's a great draft.
I love how they're all very different, though. It makes sense to me. I think they're very much with the trend that you don't need two great receivers necessarily, but you need four different ones that can all play. And they have four different ones. And you mentioned the offensive line makeover that they were so focused on last year. It worked. Like, it wasn't the only thing they needed to do last year, but their offensive line
but
was
great. It's going to take a minute for these receivers and Patrick Mahomes to get on the same page.
Right. It's a projection.
It's not going to be right day one. Their schedule will determine a lot. Right.
Yeah, the Tyreek Hill leaving. You could still actually build a really explosive offense with the different pieces that fit together. I buy all that, and I like Juju Smith-Schuster getting out of Big Ben prison. And MVS, I don't like as much, but he can make plays downfield. Sky Moore, again, you're projecting a prospect making an immediate impact. It's all kind of there, but it might take time. And they've been known to slump at times as well.
So the schedule will determine the AFC
West. Well, maybe
West,
how about Steve Spagnuolo's defense, which they put two first-round picks in, and they have a lot of veterans on that defense. How about you not be, like, so up and down, where you're top five for half the year or you're bottom five for the other half? Let's just show up, and maybe the defense
they kind of carried the Chiefs last
year. For sections of it, and then they sort of
fell apart.
I get
annoyed, though. They're going to be better without Tyreek Hill, or the Packers going to be better without Davante Adams. Like, that's a bunch of – go pound salt on that one.
Or sand.
You choose.
Pepper.
Salt. Bath salt.
Not the same.
All right.
That's what our producer's on.
Here we go. Chandler Jones was signed to hunt quarterbacks with Max Crosby. Davante Adams acquired. Blockbuster changes everything for the Vegas offense. Life's good for Derek Carr, who also has Darren Waller. That's almost unfair. But do we truly...
You do. You got him in the top 10 of the NFL.
I'm asking you what you feel. Do we truly see the Raiders as an AFC contender, or are they going to be remembered? Because, by the way, a lot of things in the power rankings in May are going to be very wrong by January. Or are they a classic offseason hype bunny that'll be long forgotten by the middle of May, middle of January, Mark?
They're my number one argument for why we should reseed the playoffs, ignoring AFC, NFC, but just put like the top 14 teams, 1-14, because I think it's the one problem is getting out of that division.
Correct.
It's like they could probably run away with the AFC South. I'm not sure. Like, you're gonna subtract wins in Vegas because
they're
of this.
They're going to beat each other up.
Right. The other thing is, and I, you know, Josh McDaniels has always fit really well in the Patriots milieu where he's the play caller and doesn't have to do all the rest of this stuff. The Josh McDaniels outside of New England has been a raging disaster. I get that was a long time ago. People can change. He's talked about that. But I don't know what Josh McDaniels, head coach, what that all does and how well it works with Derek Carr. Although Derek Carr's haircut makes me think they could hopscotch one or two team in that division, possibly.
Right. When you kind of like go down the list of their roster, as exciting as it is that you can't double Hunter Renfro like the Chargers were in week 18 so much last year, now that you have Davante Adams, like, I think it's still the fourth best roster in the division, and there's plenty of talent, but the offensive line especially was not great on paper or on the field a year ago, and they didn't really do much. They drafted a third-round pick. They didn't have picks. Dylan Parham at guard. You brought over an offensive line coach from the Patriots. Maybe that'll work out, but I do worry about that in this
Dante
division.
Last thing
wish.
I'll say on the Trayvon Mullen, Rock you sin. Those are their starting corners. I guess Nate Hobbs.
That's not bad.
Yes,
I like Trayvon Mullen and Rock
is.
Gesson.
In this division.
Nate Hobbs was pretty good.
In that division, that's not, I don't know if that's going to be enough. And
it was a big middle finger to Mike Mayock that they declined all three fifth-year options off those first-round picks. Also,
was
not
they're
going
to do the same thing to Alex Leatherwood and a couple picks, too.
Or is it Gruden?
It's fair.
Either way.
Well, I don't know who it was, but either way, it's actually impressive that they are an interesting, compelling team. Considering the whiffs of that massive
draft. You think
draft,
they're going to get lit up in the secondary is what you
I
think.
Do.
What well, about your boy Patrick Graham, though?
I mean, Jonathan Abram hasn't – I like Patrick Graham, right? I don't know.
Even
I
think this coaching is going to get lit up in the AFC West.
I think this coaching staff could be very good.
And one of these teams,
I love
most
the coach,
likely –
And by the way, Josh McDaniels at the Combine, he smiled and was, like, super nice to me.
He has to do that stuff now.
Freaking crazy. Yes. He was so nice.
I'll take the darks. I want to say this. It's – One of these teams, it's more likely than not that one of these teams will disappoint. Like,
of
they're
course.
Not all
going
to win 10 to 12
oh, yeah.
games.
Of course.
Someone's taking a dirt
and
nap.
If I had to pick, it would be the Raiders. But I also, at this time, I feel pretty good about them. But it's going to be tough. You're right. Let's move on. Chargers, Greg.
You know, as a longtime Chargers quasi-fan, mm-hmm. it almost feels like they would be the team set up for that because they're the Chargers. But right. it's not going to happen because they got Justin Herbert, and he's immortal.
Well, he was there last year,
he's unbelievable. And I like the Zion Johnson pick because he was the guy I think the teams right behind the Chargers all wanted to take. And so that's a good sign. When you make the play call that you don't want the other team to make. You made the pick. I think a lot of those teams wanted Zion Johnson. I think he fits in perfectly. They still have a question at right tackle with Storm Norton. I think if Tom Telesco had to redo this offseason, I think he had hopes that he would maybe add one more offensive weapon to the mix, maybe a pass catcher. And I do think they could be someone lurking in the OBJ sweepstakes here because they still have a little bit of cap space. And I think that was maybe one part of the checklist they didn't quite get ticked off is add one more pass catcher.
I was surprised they didn't draft someone. I thought that they were sort of a home run to draft a wideout. But I do trust this team to make the most out of Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson on defense. Those are two massive additions.
Like, you almost didn't need to draft after those two. I mean, if you already have your quarterback, you do have a left tackle. You have nailed that down and he's on a rookie contract.
It'd be a little... A little full of yourself. You're just like, nah, I'm not.
I mean, well, you'd be a little full of yourself, but I'm just saying, like, for what they've got, like, and I love the Zion Johnson pick. Obviously, I went to BC, so of course I'm going to like a Zion Johnson pick.
Do you
pick.
Have, like, a close personal relationship?
Golden
like,
Eagle.
Like all the BC players and coaches that you seem to have a network of them around.
We do, and you know what's even better for me? That Ryan
Foley.
Day was there when I was there. So that actually really helps me for the networking part because Ryan Day actually pretty darn
tight,
good coach
tight,
now.
Tight, become Cindy.
Tight as hell.
Tight becomes Cindy. No,
Zion Johnson. Yeah, that's the unofficial edict of the Chargers. Protect Justin Herbert at all costs.
Smart
move. I'm going to do it. I'm this guy's unofficial fan club leader, but how about we get Will Fuller? Have him run some go routes for Justin Herbert. I don't know.
Healthy?
I think Will Fuller was one of those guys who had the same trainer as DeAndre Hopkins.
He
Beaver tranquilizer. What is that?
I think that might be right.
I
think you're absolutely right that Will Fuller is, at this point, what's he going to cost?
Come on. 1 year,
$4 million.
He'll pay you at this point.
Right.
Take a
flyer. He could make a difference for a team in 2022.
I'd rather
and he's
have Will Fuller
there.
Than OBJ. Cheaper, too.
Will Fuller is always a wild card, not even off the field, but on the field to
I
play
I have to
six
think
games.
About it, but I think OBJ, get
Lamar
him.
Miller, can we get him back in the mix, man? No. They're old love.
I like one of the free agent signings, Stone Smart.
Hey.
Sounds good to me. I hope he makes it.
That's a good
this
name.
This is the official team. Like, by the end, we always just start running out of steam. And
Isaiah yeah, Spiller.
Maybe this is it.
Compliments
didn't
that
really
touchdown
like that.
Machine.
Didn't really love that. But,
went on a 40-second... rant about BC in the middle of that and still can't get to the buzzer.
You know what I'm still mad about? Glenn Foley beating Notre Dame in 93.
When I was at Boston College, we beat Notre Dame all 4 years, which is like pretty amazing because we did not have as good of teams. Mm.
All right. Finally, let's wrap it up. Mark, this is your opportunity. to end the show.
Go, Mark! Go, Mark! Go, Mark! Go, Mark!
Go, Mark! Thank you for the support. I appreciate that. I feel like we've been talking about the Broncos for years as being a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl threat. And so now they got their guy. We get it.
Oh, remember how annoying last summer was with Greg and Teddy Bridgewater?
It was the previous summer, too.
That was the worst.
Was previous seasons as well.
But especially last year.
Like the Panthers, you know, the Broncos better worry that the Teddy leaving effect, you know, sometimes you don't know what you had until he's gone.
I think we're getting, I know Greg may not agree with this either. I think we're getting a feisty, angry, top shelf version of Russell Wilson. I really do. I also, Nathaniel Hackett is my cup of tea. A lot of it is good. It's rosy. But I would say this, or I would ask you this. Are we overlooking a somewhat shaky offensive line? Are we overlooking the idea that Hackett and Russell Wilson have never worked together? Are we overlooking a defense that is now run by someone named Ejiro Evero instead of Vic Fangio?
That's not the person that's running the defense.
Ejiro Evero. Yeah, it's their new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's their defensive coordinator.
It all seems sensational on paper. Do you have concerns, though, that there might be a fly in the ointment here somewhere?
They're the other team. They are, to me, like the Raiders, where it's like, definitely have talked myself into them. They're number 8 in my power rankings. But you could absolutely make the case that they are an off-season hype bunny for the ages.
They remind me a little bit of the 2012 Broncos in that, like, when Peyton Manning got there, we weren't sure what Manning was going to be like, but we were kind of like, they might be a Super Bowl contender right away with a new head coach in this case. That usually doesn't happen, and it absolutely worked. They were a Super Bowl contender. I'm not buying the doubt so much. You're right. The offensive line has some questions. You brought Billy Turner from the Packers. He knows Hackett. I think just roster is the top 5 roster in the NFL.
They don't have like as I was trying to come
so,
up with
Cindy,
a major weakness.
Cindy's not into the Broncos. Let's hear it, Cynthia.
I have some questions. Number one, actually less on the defense. I love Bradley Chubb. I love Pat Surtain. I understand, you know, it's only the second season, so it's going to take a minute. I obviously, you know, Justin Simmons, we're going to go all BC here.
Benito was a good pick in the second
round. Benito was an awesome pick. So I like their,
so
I feel more
problem?
Comfortable with their defense than I do. And look, I know Russell Wilson is a very, very good quarterback. That part of what makes all of this team work, though, was I just need to see some more consistency. When Courtland Sutton was really good, then that was 2 seasons ago before he got hurt. Last season, I did not see that same step.
But so much is tied to the quarterback play, which is subpar.
I didn't see Jerry Judy come out.
He was coming off a big injury.
I understand, but are you going to get your... Maybe he needs the beaver tranquilizer. I don't know. But, like, you know, Jerry Judy, I haven't seen them live up to their where they should be yet. Now, maybe the quarterback does change that, but your route running still your route running. I still got to see it first. I got to see it first. I'm not anti... This is just a really hard. You put these guys in the NFC East, we're good.
You'd like tangible proof.
Greg Dulcich,
I need a little bit more.
They got him out of UCLA to fill in for Noah Fant.
Because that's the same.
But I'm just saying, there are, you know, I got it. The projection. It's a projection with the Broncos and a big one.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Oh God.
Seattle. Remember when you did that? Seattle. Hey, Seattle. With that chain.
I'm just doing the thing where I'm making the expectations so high that if Russell Wilson can't deliver, then I bury him in a Teddy-related argument. You know,
who's more likely to crumble?
Unrewarding, Greg.
Out of the
not really
AFC West playoff picture immediately. Raiders or Broncos.
Let's look at the schedule. I swear the schedule is going to determine. I know May 12th schedule release next week, but you know, it's just interesting to
division.
The international games are getting announced though Wednesday, and the local Denver papers have been saying that Broncos Jaguars is going to be one.
How
of
about
the
this?
The papers say it.
I don't think
maybe
so.
It's not.
I have a guess on those some of them, but I don't think it's that.
Okay. How about this over-under on AFC West primetime games? I'm putting it at 115.
I know.
I'm down with that, though.
I'm with you.
Give me good games.
I think one of those AFC West teams is going to have to go over to a country that's not the one that Handsome Hank is in, and that's going to be very hard for them, and that's going to be a digger for their schedule.
We had this conversation with the NFC West a year ago. Like, they can't all be good. One of them needs to be a huge letdown. It turned into Seattle, ultimately.
Oh, gosh. Seattle crumble. Seattle fans were so mean to me ahead of last season when I said that I didn't think that they were going to finish fourth. I got tons of hate, like almost Tennessee Titans levels of hate.
Well, wait till it's the Raiders. They may react to your
Oh, no, I know. I just like the owner.
Let it fuel you. Don't let it hurt. Let it fuel.
Yeah.
You've said it all, Cynthia. Let's go.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Where can the people find you?
You know, right here with you. I'm just never leaving.
She's a squatter. That's your first job, Graver. We got a squatter in the studio.
All right. I'll get right on that one.
All right, Gravedigger, good job. No, great job in your first show.
Nay, great job.
You did well.
I want Mark's actual honest take on your first show. Mark,
I thought
go ahead.
I mean, you've been performing at a high level for months, and you continued that today.
Thank you.
To quote some of the draft grades, but also Dan's famous post-show grades of our early days of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go B-.
This was a B-.
That's fair. There's always room for improvement.
You got to start somewhere.
Sad.
All right, let's go. Next show Thursday. We will have Handsome Hank, by the way, to share the international schedule, and Patrick Claibon as we go around the NFC. So check that out. Until then, this is Dan Hansa signing off for Cynthia Freeland, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler, the Gravedigger behind the glass. Welcome aboard, formally, Mr. Graver. Thank you for agreeing to abstain. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.